Radio's group chat.
My favorite thing is...
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On iRadio's group chat.
With Valerie McHugh. You
talking about it.
Sex therapy is a phrase that's been thrown around a lot more nowadays. But what exactly is it and who should be availing of it? In a digital world where explicit content is available at the touch of a button, what impact has this had on desire and intimacy for people? I'm joined by Olivia Tehan, a sex educator and the creator of Essex Slauncha, which provides concise, relevant and shame-free perspectives on sex. Olivia, thanks so much for joining me on the show this evening. Tell me about your background, first of all. Sex therapist or a sex educator as a job description, it's something so unusual. I'm sure people will think as well, like it's very niche. But what made you realise that that was the career for you?
Well, I didn't know that it was a career that you could do. So like I'm 31 now and my background was initially in, like, I studied law and then I was working in a political setting and doing public relations. And I just knew that there was like kind of something missing. My interest at the time, I suppose, that I could relate to what I'm doing now was human rights. So I was really interested since I was in school and then in university doing law. I was really interested in human rights and I guess health rights definitely comes into that. And then from there you have sexual health rights. And so it kind of, I figured out eventually that I was supposed to be doing something around, I suppose, removing stigma around how our bodies work and how things can and should go in relationships. And I was just fortunate, like, that I work in the sexual health centre in Cork while I was doing my public health masters, and that gave me a huge amount of inspiration because they've been there since the AIDS crisis. Like, they were set up as a support service for people who were ill at the time, like throughout the 80s and into the 90s. And so yeah, they've, you know, completely evolved into a wonderful service that does all kinds of things in terms of like crisis pregnancy and HIV support and LGBT support. So yeah, I eventually found my way into sex therapy after kind of getting trained in with the community health side of sex education.
I can totally see the correlation with working with human rights and also having health rights and sexual health rights and how it's led you down this path. But for people hearing about sex therapy properly, probably for the first time this evening, because they might have heard the term sex therapy thrown around, but they won't know what it is. It's quite an umbrella term, I imagine. What exactly, if you had to define it, is sex therapy?
Okay, so I am trained as a psychosexual therapist. Okay, so that's a psychotherapist, but we have sex thrown in there. So my specialization is to support somebody in a psychotherapeutic way. So that's talk therapy, it's like counseling. But what I am trained to do is support somebody with the sexual elements of their relationships or their own experiences with their body. So my training is in the model of what we call biopsychosocial. I'm not going to get too jargony, nobody panic. But biopsychosocial is a mix of biological, bio, so what's going on in your body. So I am trained in figuring out what's going on in your body, specifically in terms of like genital function or disconnection from your body, or maybe numbness or pain during sex or something like that. So that's bio. Then we have psycho, so that's the psychological, so that's what's going on in your head. Are you someone who's really in your head when it comes to touch? Are you having issues in relationships that seem to kind of be repeated and it's something about how things are working for you psychologically? And then we have social, so biopsychosocial. And the social part is about the cultural influences that might be impacting how you experience your body or how you experience sex. So that could be body image stuff, that could be religious kind of distress around like moral stuff around sex, if that makes sense. That's obviously one that does impact a lot of people in Ireland. Cultural stuff would also be like, you know, being a woman dating men in the environment that we're in, if you're on dating apps, if you are exposed to a lot of like hypersexualization, it could be, you know, a guy who, depending on whatever kind of social group he's in, if he's in a group where like he feels like he can't really express himself very openly, or if he is exploring his own sexuality and sexual orientation, are those things that are difficult for you because of the environment you're in, the household you're in, the country and culture that you're in?
I think you've summed that up very, very well, because I personally did not really know what sex therapy was all about. Again, like everyone else, you're thrown around and you don't really have an understanding of it. It is like any therapy or talk-based therapy you hear about nowadays, it really is. It's all about breaking down what's going on in your head, and also it's got that connection with your body. Give me some examples. Like, what reasons typically, what things typically happen in people's lives that would lead them to, maybe people might need a specific example, maybe to see themselves in it, if this is something maybe that they might be interested in availing of?
Well, I suppose that, like, if you ask different therapists this, they will probably, like, draw in different types of clients depending on how they work themselves. So for me, like, I have the kind of community health background that I have, and I'm very interested in, like, a pleasure focus, in making sure that we have, like, safety and pleasure as part of our experiences, whether you are someone who is having sex with other people or not. So I do get, I suppose I'll have some women come to me because they're like, I feel a bit disconnected during sex, and they kind of want to get back into that pleasure mode. But, like, that's a slow process, you know, because if you're in a particular pattern for several years, it'll take us a while to figure out, okay, what makes you feel really safe and what makes you feel turned on, you know, because we can't have really any of the turn on if you don't feel safe, whether that's with yourself or with the other person. So sometimes that's kind of what we end up exploring. Sometimes it's more body image stuff as well. And with the lads that have come to me, pattern that I see, and in fairness, I mean, I've been doing workshops for a while, but that's different. That's a more educational mode. I've only been doing the one-to-one therapy practice since September, because I've been training for the last couple of years in the UK with that. So I'm sure I'll have more updates for you in another year or two. But yeah, the pattern that I see with lads is that they come in and there's some kind of disconnect for them in sex with their partner. And it's not that they've lost attraction to their partner. It's just that they can't figure it out. And a lot of time there's stress around the erectile function.
We're in a world now as well, I imagine this is presented in your services, it's constantly surrounded by oversaturation in content of pornographic materials, particularly online. How has this impacted people when it comes to intimacy and sexual well-being?
So if I'm thinking about that, I'd probably be thinking as well about the work that I do in schools, because I guess I see a lot more students than I see of therapeutic clients, obviously, because I'm in with, you know, like 30 students each time that I'm doing a group workshop. So, like, from my perspective, the idea that porn is the root of the problem with feeling disconnected sexually, I think it's an oversimplification. And the only reason that I say that is because I would worry that we think if we ban porn that we're going to solve the problem of sexual violence and the problem of feeling totally disconnected from your own body in general. I think it's a symptom of a problem, you know, and that if you're handing a child a device, they're going to be exposed to stuff that can be very damaging to them. And also approaching that means that you have to be giving them education around it from when they're younger. So I guess, like, with adults that I'm talking to about porn, I am not going to immediately presume that they have some kind of a problem because they're watching porn. That's not how I work. Yes, I'll be exploring with them what kind of porn they're watching and what it does for them, you know, like, whether there's an arousal there. But, like, some people who are coming to you, particularly lads, if they're coming and they're talking about feeling like they're dependent on porn, a lot of the time it's not even about an arousal thing. They're, like, sometimes using it, like, very casually, which obviously causes a whole other host of problems if they're just using it in their day-to-day life. But it's, like, nearly like a numbing, you know. And if they've been introduced to it from when they're maybe like 11, it's just something that can become very normal. And I suppose it's kind of, yeah, you do have to tease out, like, how do you experience arousal? Does porn actually have anything to do with it, really? And how would you like to experience arousal in real life? Because if, to me, and this is what I say to the teenagers, like, when I'm talking to them, from all of those sexual arousal experiences being revolving around the phone, it's way too big of a jump to go to an actual situation with another person. Also, obviously, with a huge amount of mainstream porn, it's showing you violence and abuse as something normal. And that's besides the fact that it's only showing you, like, a main focus on how the male anatomy works in terms of pleasure. So it's just giving you, like, very unhelpful ideas in terms of experiencing pleasure and connection. And it's obviously giving very dangerous ideas too. But to me, like, you know, it's just complete, it's so unregulated that even when I'm seeing, like, bans on social media and bans on porn coming in, I'm thinking, if we don't have, like, proper information being given to these kids before they ever get devices, if we don't have them being told, oh, by the way, like, it's never your fault. Like, if you see something that makes you feel weird, or if somebody is sending you something, like, you never need to feel, like, shame because of that. And it is not what bodies look like. It's not what intimacy looks like. It's not what connection looks like, as well as having the safety as the kind of foundational part of that.
This will probably lead very well into what you're doing right now with SX Launcher. Is it Sex Launcher or SX Launcher? How do we pronounce that? It's spelled SX, but I just didn't know. Was that lingo I wasn't aware of? I don't know.
No. It's Sex Launcher, but I just spell it SX because I knew I wouldn't be able to keep social media accounts.
Yeah,
or
that's true.
The email addresses even probably if I had it spelled as sex. So yeah, it's Sex Launcher.
Tell me about Sex Launcher then, and the education that you are providing as part of that. I know that it's all about being relevant, being concise, and being shame-free as well.
Yeah, I mean, sure, the concise I struggle with sometimes because I get excited about a topic, I'll be rambling. But the point of it was that, like, you know, I just started doing like workshops myself a couple of years ago. And I had been doing them already, as I said, when I was working in community health. And I kind of wanted to have, I suppose, as I've like mentioned already, that pleasure focus, you know, like I wanted to be able to provide information also to people who were based in Ireland and who were not going to be able to get loads of like information that was relevant to them from an American educator or maybe somebody who was based in another part of the world. Because even though like it is brilliant that we can access different resources from around the world, at the end of the day, like in terms of our sexual health services, it's very confusing if you're listening to someone who is talking about some aspect of sexual well-being that you feel you really want to know more about, but then they're advising you to go to like your local, you know, psychosexual service.
And like, you're like, what? Where? Like, that does not exist.
It doesn't exist. You know, like we don't have that in Ireland. We don't have like public psychosexual services in the way that they maybe have in the UK, for example. So I just was kind of getting frustrated that I didn't, like, there wasn't something I could like watch myself or share with other people, like that was kind of all linked. And I guess at least because I've worked in community health in Ireland, I have some idea still of like, you know, what the HSE services are and what people can access to if they're in Dublin versus if they're in Clare, you know, because all that stuff is very different as well. Like, thankfully we have the remote STI testing now, you can get it sent to your house and it's free. But for a lot of other stuff, you know, you'd have to search a little bit harder. And like, sometimes people will literally just get in touch with you to be like, yeah, I have no idea how to go about, you know, dealing with this issue. If they're coming to me with, say, like a pelvic floor issue, you know, there might be a psychological element that I can help them with. But like, often we'll also be looking at getting them to a pelvic floor physio to check. And, you know, if there's, for example, if there's like a lot of tightness in the muscles, or if they have maybe painful penetration and they don't know why, that might be part of it. And so sometimes it's also just redirecting people to resources that like are actually available to them and that they might be able to drive to or whatever.
Do you think that this is something that needs to be brought in nearly in schools from a younger demographic age? Because the reality is, you know, teenagers are going to be surrounded by talks and content that is either pornographic or conversations about sex from a very young age. Do you think Sex Launcher is something that should be brought in nearly in all secondary schools?
So, yeah, I mean, I work already in schools that'll have me.
Yeah.
I work with another program, and the Sex Launcher project is mainly my work with adults. But yeah, I mean, those principles of like safety and pleasure being something that you deserve in your life and in your relationships, that's something that I think absolutely needs to be like a driving part of the message in terms of like education that will be happening. Hopefully a lot more for young people. Like, there's the Department of Education have made it so that ideally from this year there will be at least consent education for teenagers and at least some puberty education for kids before they're going to secondary school. And, you know, I think I'll be interested to see how that plays out, because a lot of teachers who are in schools currently still don't really have the kind of support to be able to really prioritize teaching this stuff in a way that's like constructive, you know, because it is a little bit emotional and it does take time to get used to the fact that like you're talking about, you know, topics that maybe you don't discuss, like, you know, as an adult, you know, it can take some time to get used to, just like with parents as well. Like, if you don't discuss you know, sexuality with your own friends or maybe even with your partner very often, of course it's going to feel like a big deal and it's going to feel a bit strange getting used to talking about it in a really constructive, healthy helpful way with young people. So yeah, those ideas definitely of safety and pleasure being normal parts of our experience that we should all be able to be accessing. That's something I really, really hope becomes normal.
Olivia, you have given me so much information this evening, and I'm sure you've given people a lot of things to think about. Thank you so much for coming on iRadio's group chat this evening. I really appreciate it. It's been a really educational experience.
Great. I'm so glad. Thanks for listening to my rambles. It's a pleasure.
iRadio's group chat. My favorite thing is if you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On iRadio's group chat.
With Valerie McHugh. You talking about it.